Bored with Friends, episode 31, Turtle Power.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%. I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to Bored with Friends, the podcast about proving that hobby gaming is, in fact, a shell of a good time. I'm Zach Dyer, and on today's episode, I am joined once again by Devin Decker.
Really? Already with the puns
it
in
had
the
to
opening?
Happen. It had to happen. I'm sorry. And shell we have shock. A special guest today joining us for the Turtle Power Podcast Hour crossover event. I don't even know if we're going to be an hour long or not, but either way, joining us from the Fan Holes Podcast, we have Mike.
Hey, pizza time.
All right. As you can tell by the name, as you can tell by the name of the crossover, we are talking about Ninja Turtles. More specifically, we'll be reviewing the game TMNT: Shadows of the Past from IDW Games later on this show. But first of all, Mike, welcome to the show. You've never been on before. We've kind of known each other on the internet for a while, and it turns out we live in the same state. But this is the first time you've been on. So how you been?
I'm okay, I guess so. I think you were just saying before the podcast that I think we've talked to each other in the last, like, 2 months, like, in person more than we've, like, ever talked to each other before that. So, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, like comic book crossovers, podcast crossover events, they're just bringing people together, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And like, with much better reasoning than any comic or television crossover ever has.
It's absolutely
true. Oh, we need to go to a hospital, but we happen to be in Chicago.
I just hope that
crosses over. I'm sorry.
I just hope my fan holes, like, fan aura, like, translates to this crossover. Like, I'm gonna look cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make you look cool on an audio podcast.
I'm not gonna get like laughing gassed by the Joker and spend like the whole like crossover laughing in a corner or anything, am I?
As long as we know your trigger word to bring you out of it, you'll be fine.
Okay.
To understand that joke, you'll have to listen to the Fan Holes podcast.
Oh, editorial note.
That was right. In a little yellow box. I've missed them.
Yeah, they don't use those anymore.
I'm sorry. No, they don't do that.
Yeah.
It's almost it's painful to read old stuff. Comic books like that. Anyway.
It's painful to read anything.
So, normally in this part of the show, we would talk about recent plays, but in honor of Mike being here and that he's not as big of a gamer as myself or the person that I'm trying to turn Devin into against his will, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to harken back to way back in, I think, episode 2, where we talked about childhood games, and we're going to give Mike a chance, and Devin, and possibly me, to talk a little bit about our background in gaming and any games that we used to play when we were kids. So, Mike, do you have any fun stories for us about your childhood gaming experiences?
Well, I mean, I'm old enough to, like, remember a time before video games and when children had to use their imagination to play and stuff. But, I mean, there were also, like, board games back in those times. And, yeah, I mean, like, I was, you know, from the ages of, I don't know, like, 4 to, like, 10, I used to play a lot of board games and, you know, like, stuff like Candyland and, like, you know, Guess Who and I don't know what else. Yeah, Risk maybe when I was a little older enough to understand it. But, I mean, the one that sticks in my mind is there was, like, this X-Men board game from, like, the early 90s, I think it was, and like, me and my friend owned it, and I guess we weren't patient enough to learn the rules to it, because we just kind of set up the board, and we picked whatever X-Men character we wanted to, like, be, because there were all these, like, you know, little tiny static statues of the X-Men, and it was a really good roster. It was, like, at least, like, 15 different X-Men, and, like, we just kind of, like, made up our own rules to get to the end of the, like, board or the end of the map, and you know, that's probably my fondest, like, board game memory. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my history up until, like, now. Like, after you graciously invited me to join in on this, you know, the Turtles game or whatever. And we played some Monopoly, too, which, like, brought me back. And, yeah, like, I had a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, we eased you into it with Monopoly Gamer.
Yeah.
So you had that familiarity.
Nintendo Monopoly. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you, I mean, are you seeing a big difference between what you remembered from your childhood with the some of the hobby games that we introduced you to?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the Turtles one especially, like, man, the like I said, like, we weren't interested in, like, learning the rules to that X-Men game, but, man, that Turtles game, it must have, the rule book was what, like, 15 to 20 pages long, or more than that, even, and, in the two sessions that we played, we just barely, like, understood how to play it, so, like, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it, but it's, yeah, the complexity is certainly, like, you know, that quotient has gone up.
Absolutely, yeah. The games nowadays, it's fun talking about it. Like, from my perspective, being in the hobby, there's all sorts of jokes about, not like Monopoly. Like, you know, people always think back to their childhood with Monopoly and Scrabble and, Uno, games like that. Even most recently, my kids, my youngest daughter started saying the phrase checkmate, and I asked her, Why are you saying that? Like, do you even know what that means? And she didn't. I don't know where she heard it, from someone from school probably. And I told her it was from a game called chess. And now she knows that we own a boatload of board games. She goes, can we play that? Can we play that game? I said, sure. Why not? So I found my old chess board and I took it down. And my older daughter, Lily, wanted to play too. So I taught them both how to play chess. And I hadn't played this in like 15 years. So I was pretty proud of myself for beating a 7 and a 4-year-old. I did it as a learning game. I didn't play to win. I would if I made a move, I would explain to them why I was making the move, and I would have them look for all the possibilities that, you know, they could move to counter it and all that. And in the end, it turned out my 4-year-old is very bloodthirsty and just wanted to take pieces as quickly as possible without caring about the consequences. And my 7-year-old, she was more cautious. She's like, no, hold back. We don't want to lose these pieces because he said the queen is the most powerful and his queen's right there. And they fought over who, you know, how to do it. It was pretty fun. They wanted to play again afterwards. So that is like your childhood. You're playing these older games and you don't realize that there are newer stuff. My kids did it in reverse, though, because I teach them all the hobby games, and then they go back and play that thing. It was pretty interesting.
It's like, I guess it's like almost a shame, because like I said, it's like once we got video games and stuff, it was like, well, that was the end of it. It's like, who wants to play board games anymore? Like, no one, like when we were younger. But
only when the power goes out.
Exactly, yeah. It was just like a last-ditch effort thing, or... you know, whatever, like stuff like that. But yeah, like I'm like, I was kind of shocked to learn like how far, like not only like seeing like you guys play, but like I had seen like, you know, at hobby stores, like, you know, Toy Vault or whatever, like this whole wall, and there's that one specific place in the mall that's like all board games, isn't there? Like I don't even remember the name of it, but I was like, wow, there's a whole store devoted to board games? Like, crazy.
There's a couple of them now. They're cropping up more and more. I mean, some of these hobby stores have been around for a while, but more stores like Barnes & Noble, for example, they have an entire section devoted to it. Even places like Toys R Us, you know, if they don't go out of business, even places like Toys R Us, they have hobby games. Target has been the biggest change for a lot of people. They have a section of their, you know, an entire aisle devoted to board games, but it's not just the mass market stuff. They have a section devoted to hobby games. So they have a lot of what we would call entry level or gateway games that you could choose from. Games like Ticket to Ride, Carcassonne, you know, games that you know, hobby gamers think of as intro games, you know. Admittedly, I probably should have started you with some of those before we went into the Turtles game, but this whole crossover event kind of made that necessary. But what about you, Devin? You know, I know you love Parcheesi. I will let you talk about it if that's going to be your thing. But, you know, what about your childhood experiences in switching? Because no, I've kind of dragged you kicking and screaming into this.
All right. Well, first of all, if we're going to shed some light on the shadows of my past... it's going to be...
I see what you did there.
my grandmother bought me a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles board game when I was very, very young. Like, it was before I moved to Rhode Island, so I had to have been 7 or 8 years old. And the whole concept of it was that the Turtles were climbing Shredder's tower in order to take him down. And, like, that seemed like a game that I really, really, really wanted to play. And I can tell you that I never played it because the box had none of the figures in it. We bought it from the store, brought it home. None of the turtle figures were inside.
That's sad.
So, like, when I think about, I mean, because turtles are inevitably wrapped up in what we're doing, well, while you guys have been talking about it, I just remember all those times sitting in my grandmother's attic wanting to play this game, like, setting it up, and then it comes time to, like, use the pieces, and the pieces were just gone. and that's, like, a sad moment in my life.
Maybe that was me and my, like, childhood friends. Like, that's what that's all we did with those X-Men figures, is just pretty much play with the tiny, like, static figures.
Inevitably, that happens with all of your childhood games. The pieces and components get removed. Like, how many times did you take the money out of Monopoly and use it for something else? You know, my sister and my cousins, you know, when we all get together, we would use the Monopoly money from my Memes set, and we would use it to create our own little towns, and, you know, we'd all have our own stores, and we'd use the Monopoly money like real money, and then it never got put back properly.
Exactly. Like, the one that I remember, that there was, like, this Ice Cube game that my grandmother had at her house as well.
You had Ice Cube?
No, what?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, because, like, it had a mold so that the whole point of the game, it was roll and move, and you had to get to the finish without your character melting. So it, like, had this cool time limit, because your character literally was a piece of ice on the little base.
Yeah, it was shaped like originally, a foot, right?
Yes, exactly.
that was genuine sincere from me. I was excited when you said Ice Cube. I was not being sarcastic.
I thought you meant, like, the Ice Cube. There was an NWA tie-in game, I'm sure, to Ice Cube. But, yeah, so that game. But, like, there was supposed to be a mold so that you could freeze, like, little, like, they're kind of like Easter Island head-looking ice cubes to sit on those feet, and that's what you would move along. And that was missing as well. So we would each just take an ice cube and put them on the feet and move them along. And I think my favorite part about that game is that, like, one of the, like, cards you could draw is to put salt on your cube.
Yes, you were literally torturing them.
You had to torture it. It's a crazy game. Like, so that's what we would end up playing because we were missing the pieces for the Turtles game.
Oh, man.
But other than that, I mean, board games in my house, I mean, you've met my family, Zach. Mike, you've seen them. You haven't gotten the full Decker experience, but you have seen how my sister and I are. We're big trivia nuts. We love trivia. So, like, Trivial Pursuit and all of its variations were pretty much what I grew up with. And that's fun. Except I've never brought Trivial Pursuit up on the show because there was this one time where Zach and I competed against his future wife and her best friend. And they beat us, and that was in Disney Trivial Pursuit, and I totally blame Zach for that.
You absolutely should blame me for that. I have an Achilles heel to Trivial Pursuit. I mean, first of all, I don't like trivia games to begin with, although I have played one that I kind of okay with now. But Trivial Pursuit in particular, it's known in my family as Mom Wins. Because my mother is incredibly good at Trivial Pursuit, being a librarian. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but she is just, she always wins. Like, in Trivial Pursuit, it's basically just roll and move around the board. Hopefully you get some questions that you might know the answer to, and then Zach's mom wins at the game because she knows the other answers that nobody else knows. That's why I don't like it.
So since I finally ripped the Band-Aid off of Trivial Pursuit, I have a question for you, Zach, as a board game grower. And Mike, I'd love to hear your talk as well, because it's another board game memory that I have. There's an episode of Designing Women where Delta Burke's character, which I can't, Suzanne and Charlene, they feel like they're the dumb ones in the group. So Suzanne suggests that they play Trivial Pursuit while they're on vacation once. And Charlene's like, we're going to lose. And Suzanne's like, no, I have the same game at home. And I spent a day memorizing all the answers on all the cards. Is that cheating?
Yes.
Question to the table.
I would say, yeah.
But
I mean, I guess
she has to recall the answers.
I guess so. Like, I mean, I guess
it's
if you
not like she has crib sheets.
if you bought a book of like Disney trivia and read that right beforehand, like, I guess that wouldn't be cheating, but like if you knew exactly what questions there would be.
Yeah, I don't.
And exactly the answer they were expecting.
I think that that's the key point. If you know the question, yes, it's cheating. If she just knew the answers, then no, that wouldn't be cheating.
Well, this is something that has prevailed throughout our household as a question of, is it cheating or not? Because she actually has to remember the answers from that day a week ago that she studied the cards.
Yeah.
So, like it'd be like studying for a test. Like, as long as, I mean, it's just an interesting question.
Well, studying for the test, if you don't know the questions, though, like, I mean, a lot of times, I know there are some probably teachers out there who give, you know, these are the questions that are going to be on the test, and so you know what to study for. But if you are playing a game and you happen to, you know, if it's Disney Trivial Pursuit and you know a lot about Disney, you're probably going to do well at it. But if you know the questions that are going to be answered, so therefore you know the corresponding answers to give, then there's no, that I would consider cheating. If you didn't know what questions were going to be there, but you had general knowledge of Disney and you were able to answer it. For example, when we did play Disney Trivial Pursuit in my family, I happened to know that Draconis was the villain in the Mighty Ducks cartoon. I have no idea why. I've never actually seen the stupid cartoon, but I knew who he was. So that wasn't cheating.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Also, I bring up designing women because basically they're the die staff counterpart to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's all thematic, guys.
Oh, yeah. I totally got that.
Yeah. I can see the connection. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's I get what you're saying. It's like, you, like Zach said, too. It's like, you know, if they asked me something about, like, gargoyles, then I'd know the answer because I loved that show. But, like, if I knew the question they were going to ask ahead of time, then that's probably a dicier, like, you know, area of discussion in terms of board game trivia.
That does get into one of the reasons I don't like trivia games.
It's a moral quagmire.
It is a moral quagmire because maybe your mother's only good at Trivial Pursuit, Zach, because she has studied the cards her entire life playing Trivial Pursuit. Oh. And now she knows the questions.
I doubt she studied the cards, but... we'll have to ask her next time.
So does that mean, like, Yu-Gi-Oh cheats, like, every single time?
Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh's a cheater because
he believes in the heart of the cards. Like, is that the same thing as studying the cards? Like,
he like, allows a demon to possess his body, and then that demon, like, invented the game.
I can see how that might be in the rule book.
Now, don't worry, though. The inventor put in the rules of the game, if I, as a demon, possess the player, that's cool. It's like Rule 27.
It's totally legal.
It's the fine print under Rule 27 that nobody ever read. They thought it was copyright Subsection information.
It's like, Kaiba, if you can kidnap a bunch of children and put them on an island to play a card game, then I can be possessed by a demon to win it. Like,
blue-eyed white dragon. I don't know.
I've never actually seen Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, man. I fell real hard on the Yu-Gi-Oh wagon the first time I went to an anime convention because there was a room just showing it. I lost an entire day to Yu-Gi-Oh.
It was very pretty colors, I'm sure. I got introduced to Yu-Gi-Oh once in high school because I had played Magic. And I had gotten into a conversation with a kid about Magic the Gathering. And he said, oh, no, you don't play Magic. You got to play Yu-Gi-Oh. So he brings in a deck of cards. And this was during Votech class when we weren't actually doing anything. So naturally, we just got to sit there for 2 hours and, you know, talk about cards, card games. And he taught me how to play Yu-Gi-Oh. And I'm like, this isn't very good. Like, it's not as in-depth. Like, you know, I don't understand why you like it as much. But it was simpler. I just didn't care for it. Never stuck. Once in a while, I'll go back and play Magic, but I would never go back and play Yu-Gi-Oh.
I actually never got into Magic, but I do know Pokemon. Like, I could play the Pokemon game. I did have a pretty decent deck by the time. Well, it's like, by the time I managed to, like, come up with a pretty decent deck, like, no one else was playing it anymore. So
people still play it.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, in my general vicinity, like, I was like, oh, man, like, I finally have a good deck, and now no one will play me.
See, Pokemon...
people really play with the cards? I just thought that they collected them and, like, kept them in pristine condition.
A lot of people do that, too, yeah. I've actually considered buying a deck, because, you know, when Pokemon Go came out, my daughters became really obsessed with it, and I still kind of play it, and they play it with me. And because they were starting to get to know the characters, and because we're such a board game family, I was actually thinking, like, you know, maybe we could play the Pokemon card game. Luckily, I have not gone down that rabbit hole yet, because that one is releasing generations of Pokemon I have never even heard of, because I only followed, like, the first two or three games.
And, like, not only that, but it's, like, nowadays, it's, like, I think I looked this up one day because I was curious, but, like, cards that are in decks I made are now banned from, like, official play and stuff like that because they're too powerful. Like, they're too broken.
Yeah, that happens in the Magic scene, too.
Yeah, you can't
use... the plight of all card games.
Yeah, you can't use Bill anymore, and all Bill did was let you draw two more cards. That's broken. Super powerful. Can't do it.
I remember the first time I busted out my Magic cards in probably over a decade, and everybody who was playing, it was a bunch of friends, and, you know, they brought all their cards. I said, we're gonna play Magic. I said, I haven't played in forever, sure, let's play. And you know, they had to kind of reteach me how to play, but I brought out the cards that I had, and they're like, how long has it been since you played? Because most of these cards are like from the, you know, mid-90s, and they hadn't seen any of these things in years. And, you know, some of them are like, I'll slip you a $20 bill for this card right now. I'm like, no, I'll keep it. I like it. It's mine. You know, so I just keep it. I keep the deck just in case, you know, I play again, but I don't want to slip down that rabbit hole and get into having to buy Magic cards every single, you know, release time and all that, because it's a money pit. That's a lifestyle game right there.
The way it was described to me, since we're talking about it, is if you buy a pack of cigarettes, that's like a pack of Magic cards, and Magic cards are healthier. That's what someone literally said to me to try to get me into buying Magic cards. I didn't smoke at the time. It was an analogy that was wasted on me. But that is what someone was like, I got the perfect way to get Devin to play Magic. Cigarette analogy.
It's not a bad analogy in general, though. Yeah.
I've heard.
It's like, but it's.
Go ahead.
But it's like that thing where it's like, well, if you buy a cup of coffee a day, it's $5. You use that $5. It's like.
Where are you buying your coffee that it's $5?
No, but like that's just like a thing you read on the internet. It's like. For the price of a cup of coffee, you could, you know, save a child in Africa. And it's like, yeah, but...
but then I have no caffeine in me. I guess I could do both.
I don't know.
That better be some good coffee, yeah.
For $5, $5.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get $1 at Cumberland Farms. I mean...
Cumberland Farms is not a sponsor.
No, not
what are we talking about? What are we here for?
Oh, man, we're here for board games.
This I feel like got we got rails. Fired I got, in the I shadows.
I think I got us way
past.
Off track with the mention of Yu-Gi-Oh! So
you did.
I'll take the heat for that.
That's okay. You're a guest. It's all right.
We're about 60% on topic.
Usually. We've been better lately, I feel. Anyway. So we're going to go to our rules breakdown now and you know, learn more about the game, and we'll be right back.
Dudes, it's totally time to listen to Fanholes.
What's that, Mikey?
Like only the most tubular, righteous, gnarly podcast ever.
I don't know, Mikey. I've got some science projects to work on.
Yeah, Mikey, and you know, some of the things those Fanholes say, you know, really ticks me off.
Well, why don't we see what Master Splinter has to say about listening to Fanholes?
Yeah, sure. Okay, Leo. But what do you think, Master Splinter? Should we listen to Fanholes, the pop culture podcast made for fans by the fans, or not? I say... Go, Fanholes! Go, Fanholes! Go! Ha 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 ha! I made another funny! Ha ha!
Dude! Turtle Power Podcast Hour! A podcast crossover event featuring Fanholes Podcast, Bored with Friends, and Animated Indulgence, coming this September!
TMNT Shadows of the Past is a thematic scenario-driven campaign-style game for 2 to 5 players, designed by Kevin Wilson and published by IDW Games. In TMNT, up to 4 players will take control of the 4 Ninja Turtles, and 1 player will control their enemies, the Foot Clan. The turtle players will work together as a team, spending dice rolls to perform movement, attacks, and special abilities. At the start of a round, the turtle players will roll their dice and decide how they want to place their results. The order you place your dice is important, as the turtles to your left and to your right will share the corresponding die and be able to use it on their turn. Except for Raphael, because he's super cool loner and doesn't need any help. Raph gets more dice to roll to compensate for this. The foot player draws cards from a deck, choosing 2 to place in front of them. The cards will activate different members of the squad, allowing movement, attacks, and the occasional special ability. Turn order alternates between the foot and the turtles. Once all 4 turtles have used up their dice, the round ends. If the players enter combat, the combat dice are used. A character gets to roll dice according to their stats and bonuses that they may have, attempting to roll hits or defense depending on who engaged the combat. Victory depends on the objective of the scenario. For example, the turtles may be looking for information and have to capture a specific foot soldier. If they manage to knock him out, they would win the scenario and the story would progress. If the foot soldier manages to escape to the other side of the board, the Foot Clan claims victory, and story then progresses in another way. This is a very basic overview of TMNT. The gameplay has a lot of specific rules to cards used, terrain on the board, and more. But for now, let's get back to the rest of the friends and see what we thought of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shadows of the Past. And we're back talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shadows of the Past. Longest title ever, because that's all we do is play games with really long titles. And we're back to talk about it from IDW Publishing. So, this was a dungeon crawling game, essentially, with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And, you know, starting about it, let's do a little roundtable here. What did you guys think of the overall presentation of the game? The artwork and the components of it? Start with you, Mike.
Well, I really it was certainly very involved, and it was very faithful, I guess, to the IDW comics. I really liked all the character art, on the cards, and I liked the way, if you're a Turtles fan, one of the main things for any new Turtles property is what do the turtles look like? And they mostly the art seemed to be capturing what they looked like in the IDW comics, which I like that aesthetic. So that was pretty cool. And, people will get into do you like them having white eyes, or do you like them actually having pupils and stuff like that? And I don't have a preference, but I just generally know I liked that art style, and it made me think of the IDW comics. And as for the maps the board, it was pretty cool. Sometimes I was kind of confused initially, where I'm like, what is that supposed to be? And I'm like, oh, it's a pile of trash bags or whatever. But when you're looking at stuff from an angle from above, sometimes it's not as clear. But I generally liked the whole look of it, at least.
The top-down view kind of reminded me of... Do you remember the original Ninja Turtles video game? Not the beat-em-up.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminded me of that. Yes. The Konami one. The incredibly difficult to defeat one. I got all the way to the end of the Technodrome and lost. I was very mad. But yeah, that top-down view, that's a very typical of a dungeon crawl game like Descent or Rebel Assault or any of those in that line of play. And, that's what they were going for with here. You had the miniatures of the Turtles and the Foot Clan and all the other, characters from the IDW comics that some of them I honestly did not know because I haven't read a lot of them. But I like the artwork in this. I mean, from IDW, I think I said this before we started recording. If it was coming from IDW comics, I really expected the artwork to be good in this. And it would have been a major disappointment if it wasn't. But I was impressed by the art. What about you, Devin?
Well, I mean, the art, like you said, you're a comic book company. You're going to knock it out of the park. So where I was really impressed was with the miniatures themselves. Mm. Each one of them just had so much life, even in the grayscale. And I feel like there's just, if you put the time in to paint them, you could make them look really, really nice because of the details, accessory-wise and just sculpt-wise, that are in each of those models. But like when you look at the Ninja Turtles, and like when you're a fan, right? Like if you read the original comics when they all read red wore red bandanas, you need to have those distinct things that make them stand out as Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Raphael. And I do like that each one of those miniatures, there's no question of who each one is.
Oh, no.
You
at
look
all.
And you're like, well, that's clearly Raph.
Yeah.
There you go. Like it's, they did a great job with the miniatures. Yeah. Like, and like even outside of that, the characters you don't know, like Alipex, and I believe the Hawk Koya was one of the miniatures that might have just been in the Kickstarter, but like they were really, really, they were well done as well. So it's beautiful, not just two-dimensional art, but 3D as well.
Yeah, there was definitely some personality there. Like Raph is charging forward like he would, you know. Donnie is holding his staff behind him in that, you know, traditional kind of pose that you would think of. And Leo is, like, looking into, you know, assessing the whole situation, as I would expect him to. So, yeah, there's a lot of personality in these sculpts. The miniatures are really good. This was a Kickstarter game, which was surprising since it's coming from IDW. There were some upgrades to it. If you had backed the Kickstarter, you got more miniatures. They also had a super special edition with more... Like, these miniatures are designed more off the comic style. I believe the deluxe edition came with ones that were more, I guess, cartoony or more modernized. I'm not sure how to describe it, but it was different poses for the turtles. But the actual version that we played is the consumer level version that you'd buy in a store, and it was still impressive. There was no dip in quality, I feel, for that.
No, not at all. It still felt like. I mean, yeah, like, the fact that all the miniatures were still miniatures. Like, I've seen retail versions of Kickstarter games where, like, the bad guys are represented by tokens.
Yeah,
where, like, the fact that you still got... Yeah, the fact that you still got all of the, like, purple dragons, like, melee, and then with the guns, and then, like, the high-ranking foot elite. Like, I definitely don't feel like they cheaped out on the retail version where you do often see that. So, I mean, kudos all around on the actual, like, physical design of this game.
All right, so let's talk about the actual gameplay here. This is a one-versus-many game. One person is playing the Foot Clan. The others are playing the Turtles. Now, in this game, I thought it was kind of interesting. No matter how many players you have, all four Turtles are going to be on the board. So if you're playing two players, one person is the Foot Clan, one person gets to play all four Turtles. And they have a interesting mechanic to kind of reflect the team nature of the Turtles, you know, how they work together. Well, three of them do. You're rolling dice that have iconography on it to represent, you know, melee attacks, long distance attacks, movement, dodging, all that stuff. And you share your dice that you've rolled with your brothers, with the other Turtles. Raphael thematically does not share his dice, and he gets more of them because he's not sharing with the others. I thought that was actually a really cool and probably the most interesting mechanic of the game. I'm not sure how you guys felt about it, because it was a little bit more complex than probably you're used to, Mike, in a game like this, for a board game anyway. Was that surprising for you to see something like that?
Yeah, like I like bits like that that are character specific, and I thought that was a very cool mechanic. And I'm not sure how effective it was in actual gameplay, but the fact that they actually like engineered it is like, you know, it shows how much they like cared, basically.
I mean, as the person who played as Raphael, a cup would be nice to roll six dice. Rolling six dice was really my biggest complaint about that. Because y'all had your little three dice, and that's easy. Three dice is easy to roll. But six, like, you're cupping them, and you're like, eh.
It was a lot. But I guess you could have rolled, you know, three and three. You didn't have to roll them all at once.
But I'm Raphael, right? I roll it all at once.
just don't lose aside.
Take a bet.
So yeah,
wait, I don't play by anyone's rules but my own.
But I do like that being said that while he cannot borrow, Raphael can't borrow from his brother's dice, his brothers can still borrow from his dice. I thought that was an interesting way to like subvert that mechanic. Mm. That is like, it's all mental with Raphael.
I can't imagine.
They don't, the other guys don't care.
I can't imagine playing this two-player and having to manage all four turtles at once. And I'm really glad we didn't get that aspect. Sean got to join us for our game sessions. Unfortunately, he wasn't available to be on this episode. So one of the game sessions, we had all four turtles out there. And, you know, he had some thoughts on this as well. I will give his opinion near the end when we do our final thoughts. When we got that full game in of all five of us, it was kind of exciting to, you know, have that. Like, everybody got to be their favorite turtle. Like, I got to be Donatello, because growing up, I identified with him. Not going to lie. I think we've talked about that before, Devin, you know, outside of the show, you know, which characters we identify with. You got to play Raphael. Mike, you got to be our leader, which was great. None of us got to actually experience being the Foot Clan. Your sister Dale was gracious enough to take on that role, Devin. But the way the Foot Clan plays is a little bit different. They are more card-driven, and their cards retire after a certain amount of time, after more cards come out. It's kind of neat, like they get to line up their actions like that. I might be giving away my final thoughts here, but I feel the Foot Clan was a little OP. You guys might be agreeing with me on that. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll give Dale's opinion during our final thoughts as well.
I appreciate that. But the, you know, overall, I think the mechanics definitely, they embrace the theme of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. My memories of the cartoon, which is what I watched, you know, I was into when I was younger. Turtles, I think I said this on the Fan Holes podcast, but they filled that hole that Transformers left when Transformers was canceled for me as a kid. And, you know, I'm sure my parents will attest to this. I had a lot of Ninja Turtles toys. Like, that's what I got to have instead, because there were no more fighting robots out there for me. So these guys have a nostalgic draw for me, and my memories of the Ninja Turtles are definitely done honor here by the mechanics of this game, because of that teamwork aspect to the dice rolling and stuff. As a dungeon crawl, this is pretty run of the mill, other than that one mechanic. I feel like you get to kind of work together. There was one really cool moment when we were playing where I got to fill in from as Michelangelo when Sean wasn't able to make it, and we were able to throw Raph across a gap in two buildings. I thought that was pretty cool that you could, you know, there was more teamwork aspect to the special powers. Any thoughts on, you know, the actual gameplay like that?
Hello? Yeah, like I.
Either one of you jump in. Sorry,
I was gathering my thoughts. No, yeah, like I liked that. Like I thought I was kind of excited when you did that, because I was like, oh, we did like a maneuver, like we finally did something.
We did
like
a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was kind of like, I was Leonardo, like you said, and I was kind of like, shouldn't I be leading more? Like I feel like I should be coordinating things more, and like, you know. I like, based on like how we ended up with the game, it's like I was kind of like, there's got to be a way that we can coordinate this so that like none of the Foot can escape, but like we couldn't figure it out in time. But like, yeah, when we did,
so it was your fault we lost.
Yeah, I was like, I'm taking responsibility because I'm the leader. Yeah,
so. You want to lead a Leo?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all I do is machines, and I don't even know what that means.
Oh, you do all machines.
I do machines.
Here's a stick. I mean, like,
that moment is one of those moments that stands out. Like that moment when we actually worked together as the Ninja Turtles was a very cool moment. Another one is the fact that like each of the turtles has sort of their specialty, and Michelangelo's is movement, so he can cover the most ground of all the turtles. And that was really sort of my favorite moment too, when Sean like was able to cross the entire board to like get behind the Foot Clan. And like eventually it didn't work, like it was too little too late, but like that was one of those moments that was like, this feels like we're the Ninja Turtles right now.
I also liked every turtle has their own power that's on their player board, but they also get these extra cards that give them, it's not randomized, you get to choose them before each scenario what extra powers you want to have, but they are still exclusive to the turtles. Michelangelo in particular had one, I think it was It's Party Time Dude was the name of the card, but he basically, he, if that is his power and he wants to invoke it, he gets to take whatever powers he wants and switch them out from the box. So it's kind of a chaotic aspect to Michelangelo, but it also means like I could do this It's Party Time Dude power so that I can wait and judge the situation and switch it out later, so I don't have to pick it before we go into battle. That was kind of a cool how those powers also were reflective of the turtles' personalities.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of people, people just think of Michelangelo as like the party dude and the fun guy, but he is also really introspective and like he's not like book smart. He's more street smart. So I do like that reflection of his character that like it would be that last minute like thing that Michelangelo notices that would save the day. That's happened many times.
I guess I was showing my ignorance of the comics there, thinking he's more
chaotic. No, you're not showing. No, I mean, but that chaotic nature as well. But like, it appears as chaos, right? But it's sort of controlled chaos. Like you said, he's waiting to see what of his tricks will actually fit the situation.
Mm.
Like, so it's both. He's a novelist. He's a published novelist in the comic books. I'll say that.
He's kind of like the sensitive one almost. So like, I feel like he has more situational awareness sometimes than the others, just because the others are so like super specialized.
Can't disagree with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, Leonardo leads, you know, that's specialized. Raphael, he's cool, but I don't even know what to do at this point.
Well, it's
like, okay, like just abandon the bit, Zach. Pull the ripcord.
It's like Leonardo's the leader. Raphael's job is to disagree with Leonardo, and Donatello's job is to make stuff. Yeah, like Michelangelo's job is whatever he feels like. He's loose, you know. He's improvisational.
He's a jack of all trades.
He's the wild card.
I like that though. How their personalities were definitely evoked. This game exude theme. Like I cannot fault it for that. It definitely felt like a love letter to the Ninja Turtles. I believe the creators had some, or at least one of the creators had some involvement in the story aspect of the campaign, which was pretty cool. And you know, they did not do an injustice to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a theme. That can definitely be said about this.
I guess I just wish the game were better. I'm going to open the floodgate.
Yeah, let's segue into our actual thoughts about the game. Devin, I guess since you made that comment, you could go first if you'd like.
Oh, thank you. No, it's like, because it is. Like, it feels like I said, I told the story at the beginning of this. I had this Ninja Turtle game as a kid that I always wanted to play, but I couldn't because I didn't have the pieces. So like I'm now, you know, however old, I'm 30 years old now. So like it's 20 years later, but I still felt like I was being held back from playing something I really wanted to play. And the reason behind that is that it felt like there was so much setup to this game, like getting everything laid out and getting it ready. Like that would take about half an hour, and sure, that's because of table talk and us like all trying to be hilarious and have a good time, right? Because we're also hanging out while we're playing the game. But then the game itself, it always felt like it amounted to like 5 maybe 10 minutes of actual gameplay before the Foot Clan just wiped the floor with us. And so it was a lot of setup for like not a satisfying climax at all.
Yeah, I mean, our purpose was to prevent the Foot Clan from escaping, but we could not figure out how to do that because, like you said previously, it's like the Foot Clan were kind of not only were they kind of OP, but they had like so many more movement like options than we did. And like we just couldn't pin enough of them down, like for them. I forgot what exactly the number of people who had to get off the board like to win was, but like it seemed like we managed to defeat like 2 Foot Clan guys, but like, you know, 3 others managed to escape, and then that was all they needed to win.
The last scenario that we played, there was one guy who needed to make it off the board, and the way that Dale pulled her cards, he had 12 movements for 2 rounds, and he just walked off the board without ever like getting anywhere near us, because his spawn point was nowhere near any of us, and he could exit from like the sides of the board as well. So like we would have needed to roll. I mean, it's all random, right? Like rolling the dice and what card you get are it's all randomized. But the way that the random fell each time that we played it for the foot, they just had so much more movement than we wound up with. And just like, yep, yeah, bye. We're not even going to bother. There was no reason to fight us because they could just walk away.
I have, over the last few games that we've reviewed and games that I've played off show, I have discovered that this is not my type of game. With Doom, with Ghostbusters, with this, I just don't like it in general. I can appreciate the mechanics and the theme that, you know, that came out of them. I was excited for that. Like, there were moments in this game where I was like, here it is. This is it. This is the moment it's going to get fun. Like, when we figured out, like, oh, as Michelangelo, I can throw Raphael across here, and then he's going to land in the middle of these foot soldiers, and he's going to kick all sorts of butt, and it's going to be hysterical. And we did that, and then, like you said, Dale just then walked off the board and won. And so we played a couple different scenarios of this game, and it was frustrating that it was so anticlimactic. And because of the chaos and the randomness of the dice rolls that we got, and the chaos and randomness of the card draws that she got, it ended up not being fun. And, you know, maybe that's just because of the luck of the draw, so to speak. But I, like, we had difficulty organizing a third night because, honestly, another game session, because, honestly, I just didn't want to play it again. if I really had to be honest, I just did not want to play this again.
You're not alone.
Because, Mike, this is your first time in this hobby. I wanted to introduce you to some fun games that, you know, would make you, you know, want to come back for more. I'm really hoping this doesn't deter you, because we'd like you back, you know, to play just to play games with us, not necessarily, you know, for a review episode, although you're welcome back for that, too. And I kind of felt bad. Like, I thought this was going to be, you know, that game that, you know, okay, we all like Ninja Turtles. This is going to be fun. And it wasn't fun. And maybe we played something wrong, and I will certainly look over the rules again, but honestly, as thematic and as cool looking as this game is, I'm really glad I didn't back the Kickstarter, because I almost did, and I would have been have even more buyer's remorse for that. But it didn't fulfill what I was looking for.
Yeah, that would be like, my review. Like, honestly, like, I think I had more fun playing like Nintendo Monopoly with you guys. Like, that was yeah. But like, yeah, like, I guess like all the ingredients like seemed to be there, but we just like it just couldn't come together. And I don't know if that was like down to us or down to the game like being flawed like itself. But yeah, like, I agree with you. Like, I was kind of, you know, and it takes so long to set up too. Like, by the time we're all like about to get like we were all like antsy to get it like, you know, started and stuff, and then it ends so quickly. It's like a very unsatisfying payoff.
So, yeah, that would be a disappointing ending to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Shadows of the Past. Would be the I think the general consensus here. Nobody really liked it. Dale was having fun, I'm sure, right?
Dale
what were her
loved
thoughts?
It.
She loved
it. Dale's thoughts are
she was crushing us. Yeah.
I never want to play that game again. But it was so much fun beating you guys every time we did.
She crushed the soul out of the game, quite honestly.
Like, she really did. Like, and it's just like, and her other thought was, every time we played, like, I had to check the rules because I couldn't believe how much ability the game was giving me over the foot. Like, it doesn't seem right that I had 12 movements two turns in a row, but that's how it's worded in the rule book. So that's what I'm going to do.
If we misinterpreted that, I encourage anyone, reach out to us on Twitter at Board With Friend, and please make this game better for us, you know, if we interpreted that wrong.
That's like how bad it was. Like, it's our adversary felt bad for us, like, playing. Like that's like how badly we got crushed.
She didn't feel bad for us.
Oh, she didn't feel bad at all, Mike. Yeah.
Okay, well then.
Don't credit her with any sort of sympathy for our plight as mutant adolescents. But she was nervous that, like, she was breaking some sort of Geneva Convention of the game. I don't want to be called a war criminal.
I did have a chance to talk briefly with Sean about his thoughts of the game, and pretty much he just said, I didn't like it. That was his response. I didn't like it, and he didn't have anything nice to say about it other than, you know, it was pretty. You know, so it is a beautiful collector's piece. If you are a fan of Ninja Turtles and you want something impressive on your shelf, the miniatures are gorgeous. The artwork is nice. The box is huge, so it'll just look cool with your collection. But I honestly, I didn't like it. But I didn't like it because I'm really not a fan of this type of game, as I've come to realize over the last year. I'm drawn to the theme, but I'm not liking the type of game. But you guys didn't like it because it just wasn't fun to play, quite honestly. That's what it sounds. I might be projecting, but...
No, I mean, yeah. It wasn't fun to play, and it was a huge time sink.
By the time, by the time we actually got down to playing, it was like I was already like almost like mentally exhausted, and I wasn't like just trying to like read all the cards, like understand the rules and like all that. I mean, I feel like maybe if we played this for like, you know, hours and hours and hours on end, and eventually like we got it down pat, like maybe it would be a lot funner. But like obviously we didn't have the time for that, so.
I'd
be willing to commit a day to it, though. I'd say that. I would be willing to commit a day to just playing this game and learning it inside and out, and then determining if I enjoy it, like Link to the Past, or just it's not my cup of tea, like Resident Evil 4.
I don't think I can commit a day to playing this game. So if I had a day to commit to gaming, and I've done that, you know, maybe once or twice in the past year, I want to play something else.
Games.
I have better games to play.
Yeah, I was like, I got other options. Yeah,
I would play a video game before I play this again. that's saying a lot for me.
That is saying a lot for you.
All right. Well, final thoughts on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's pretty, but we didn't like it, quite honestly. I hate having a negative review on the series, but occasionally that's going to happen. Usually we're not all unanimously negative about the game, but it sounds like pretty much everybody except maybe Dale did not like this. All right.
Yeah, but I'm fairly certain Dale would rather play a tiny epic game, or I think she'd even play the time hop game, the one where, like, oh, it's time travel, but there's also Aldrich horrors that are real in this world.
Oh yeah, Time Stories. We got to finish that.
Time Stories. We should finish Time Stories. I think she'd like, they're like, of the games that you have brought to this house, even though she has a flawless victory record on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, any other game would be preferred to it.
Well, we did crush her at Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was fun too.
we picked the most mass market game possible, and that's the ones Mike liked. All right.
That really kind of sums it all up.
Yeah. We liked Legend of the Hidden Temple more than we liked the Shadows of the Past Turtles game. All right. Mike, since you are a guest here, where can people find you?
Well, I am a representative of Fanholes Podcast, and you can find us on fanholespodcast.blogspot.com. And we're on iTunes, we're on Podbean, We've got a Tumblr page. We've got various other pages. I don't know. Derek's a lot better at plugging us, but yeah. But you know, where you just—I think you can just type fan holes into Google, and we're like the first result. Like the first result used to be like a tutorial of cutting fan holes in your ceiling, but now we're the first result. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go us. Yeah, we picked a good name. So yeah, and so. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach, you are welcome back anytime. We'll have to teach you some more fun games. And
definitely.
So we can have a positive review and hear what excited Mike sounds like.
Yeah,
like, Mike, I think you'd enjoy Tiny Epic Quest. I'm not going to lie. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Like, yeah, I definitely want to come back and like do another game night because it was just fun to hang out with you guys. So, absolutely. Like, I mean, yeah.
He likes us. Yay. He really likes us.
Yeah.
And Devin, since I never give you the opportunity to plug your show, where could you be found?
Well, I am a representative of The Say Report, and you can find us on social media at The Say Report. And if you just want to yell at me, and please, I encourage you to yell at me, because I just know way too much about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and would like to hear what you know about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I can be found on Twitter at Devin D. Decker, and that's DevonDDEC. K-E-R. Driven Decker! I'll even give you one of those, Zach.
Never gets old. All right. Thank you so much for being on, guys. Thanks for listening.
That wraps up this episode of Bored with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to email us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at boardwithfriend. Like us on Facebook, or check out our website, boardwithfriends.blogspot.com. If you enjoyed this show, check out some other podcasts like The Say Report, The Local Multiplayer Podcast, or The Fan Holes Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Sound stuff.
Yeah. It's like I need someone who has a sound engineering degree to teach me how to do this properly.
Yeah, I mean,
are you what's happening? I feel like I got thrown under the bus. I was having a good time on top of the bus.
I was like, that sounded accusatory.
It's oddly specific. I don't know why.
I'm the reason why you podcast. You're welcome.
Why aren't either of you sound engineers?
He actually is. That's the joke.
I am. That's okay. The joke. The bit is, he told me about editing last time we recorded. He's like, don't worry, I edit it. And I'm like, oh, please continue telling me what editing is.